Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 9, and as you find Hebrews chapter 9, I want to give you a recap from a couple of weeks ago. As you know, most of you know, I'm preaching through a series that I'm kind of bringing up as I go, and we're just calling it the End Times series. And I'm going to preach it just as long as God keeps telling me where to go with it, because I think that we need to be reminded of it, and the world certainly needs to know of it. Amen? So today we're going to continue with what really matters in eternity. And you may remember that I shared with you six events a couple of weeks ago, six main events of your eternity. These things happen with everybody. Number one, we are born. We have life. Secondly, we're going to be brought to a death. God's word says that there is appointed unto man once to die. And then we head to our destination that was determined during our lifetime. We reach that destination after our death. After that destination, our body goes to the grave. Our spirit, I pray and hope in knowing Christ, that your spirit goes to be with the Lord, because that's what God's word says. We go to be with him immediately. And then there's going to come the resurrection. Amen? Where the body is brought out of the grave and it meets the spirit coming down. And the Bible says that we're going to meet him in the air. Thank you. Somebody's excited with me. We're going to meet him in the air. And then after that, we're going to go before the Lord in judgment. And we will all appear before him. And then after that judgment, we'll either receive rewards and we'll be enter into the kingdom of heaven, or if you don't know God, it says you'll be eternally separated. And from that point forward, folks, you meet the rest of your eternity. That's what God's word says. Now, I want to talk to you today about what needs to happen before you get there. Amen? Hebrews chapter 9, a very brief verse. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? This is a very short passage, but it has all to do with where we are headed today. That scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." Now let's just make clear what God's word is saying here. When it says it is appointed for men, what it's saying here is all men, meaning all mankind, every man, every woman, every child. And it says that they are going to die. How many times will they die? Once. Not three times, not five times. So there's not going to be this cycle where you get an opportunity until you get it right. And then after we die, the scripture says there is coming what? The judgment. Folks, according to this, we've got one opportunity when we've got this lifetime, as long as God calls on our heart, for us to get it right. This morning, I'm going to share with you two keys to your eternity. And you're going, wait a minute, Pastor, I thought there was just one. Two keys to your eternity. Would you pray with me? Father, would you open our hearts and minds to receive your truth? And God, let us judge it according to your word, not according to man, not according to hearsay, not according to tradition, but God, according to your word. For Father, if it's in your word, we're going to hold to it. Amen? So we pray this morning that your heart would be our heart, that your wisdom would be our wisdom, and that your way would be our way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Jesus taught that there were two keys to eternity. Two keys determine everything about your eternity and my eternity. Now, the first key you know about, and I think that most of you know about the second one as well, but the first key determines where you're going to spend your eternity. And folks, that is the most important. Amen? We know that God's word tells us that we live once, and then comes the judgment. And the very first key determines whether we spend our eternity with Christ in heaven or separated from him in hell. Now, this first key to our eternity is found in John 3:16. We quoted this verse not too long ago. Why don't we do it again? We'll do the old King. Well, we'll do the New King James Version. That's what we read from most of the time. The scripture says, "For God so loved the world." Say it with me. We're going to start again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have." We know that verse. That's a comforting verse. And the scripture tells us there that the key to eternal life is for those who what? Believe in Jesus Christ. So according to Jesus, the first key is what? Belief or faith. Now let me explain to you very quickly what faith is and what faith is not. What faith is not is just mere intellectual assent. You can't just say, "Oh, well, I believe in God." Listen, there have been some very precious people in my life that I love very much. And as I would witness to them and share with them, they would say, "Well, I believe in God." But folks, they had never professed their faith in Jesus Christ. There's a difference. James chapter 2, verse 19, we're reminded, says that Satan believes in God. He says, "You believe in God, you do well, for even the devil believes and is greatly afraid." So just having an intellectual assent is not faith. Secondly, faith is not temporary. You can't just, as you're getting on an airplane, grab your Bible, hold it close to you, and say, "God, help me through this, God, help me through this," or through a pandemic or anything else, and say, "God, help me through this," and then whenever the flight or the pandemic or the trial is over, be through with God. That's temporary. And faith is not temporary. Faith is what you hold in your heart throughout your time. What is faith then? What is belief? Folks, faith is trusting Jesus Christ to get you to heaven 100%, knowing that we have sinned, that we need to turn our life back to Him. We repent, we ask for forgiveness, we receive His salvation. And once we receive that salvation, we know that we are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that when we die, when we appear before Him, that He's going to say, "Well done. Enter into the kingdom of heaven." Folks, Ephesians 2, 8, 9 tells us about that. We're going to cover that in just a minute. And you're going to maybe wondering, well, Pastor, share that verse. That's the great verse. We're going to get to that one. That's the first key. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, Acts 16:31 says. Now, there is a second key. And you're going, okay, now what is this second key? This is not what gets you into heaven. This is what determines what you're going to do once you get there. Folks, there are two keys. And if you want to call it keys to two doors, you can understand this. First, there's the door of whether or not you're going to get into Christ's kingdom. And that only thing that opens that door, Jesus Christ is the door. The only thing that opens that door is what? Faith. And then the second key opens the door to what you're going to be doing forever and forever and eternally. The second key determines how we experience eternity. Jesus Christ Himself taught us that the second key, folks, Baptists don't like the second key. The second key is works. The second key is obedience. That is not what gets you into heaven, but it does determine what you're going to be doing once you get there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 tells us that Jesus, the Son of Man, will come and then He will reward each one according to his what? Works. There's going to be a reward. Our works or our obedience to what Jesus tells us to do will determine our eternal compensation. Let me ask you, do you remember on the cross? We sang about that this morning. Love the songs we sang this morning. By the way, Nathan, where you at? Where's Nathan? There you are. Love the songs this morning, brother. They right on. You remember that on the cross, Christ had two, one on either side of Him. Remember? One of the thieves came to faith in Jesus Christ, and one did not. So on that cross, when he expressed his faith in Jesus Christ and he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise," do you think that that thief actually got to go to paradise, that thief actually got to go to heaven with Jesus? Why? Because Christ said so. He expressed his faith there publicly on a cross. Now let me ask you, he died right there on the cross. How many opportunities did that man get to earn rewards? He, as we might say, got in by the skin of his teeth. But he got in. Do you know how many rewards he's going to have when he gets to heaven? Will he be in heaven, though? Yes! But will he have rewards? Will he receive any crowns? No! Why? Because he did not live a life for Christ. Folks, there's a difference here, and we need to understand this. Many believers, many seekers, get confused about these two points. Very much so. Many are familiar with the key of belief, or the key of faith, that we read about in Ephesians chapter 2. They're familiar with that one, but they neglect the second key that's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read those together. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And that's a gift of God, not of your works, lest any man should boast. For we," verse 10, let me just stop there. We know what it says. It says, "You have been saved through your faith." It's a gift of God, not of works. That we understand, right? We got that. But for some reason, so many believers stop on verse 9 rather than moving on to verse 10. Listen to what verse 10 says. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for something." Stop. You see it up on the overhead. It says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for something." What was that something? Oh, now wait a minute. I hear two or three over here. Everybody read it. "We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, folks, here we are. We cannot neglect the fact that God's Word says we must be saved by faith and that we cannot earn our way to heaven. Amen? That's what God's Word says. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. And yet, as a gift of God through His Son, we can receive it. And yet, we cannot forsake what it says afterwards, that we are saved to do something. And that is good works. Now let me stop and compare those two, because I don't want you to be confused on this. I don't want you to be thinking, "Well, Pastor, you're teaching a salvation by works." No, I'm not. I am teaching a salvation by faith through Jesus Christ and Christ only, because that is what God's Word says. And if that's what God's Word says, that's what we're going to teach. That's what we're going to preach. That's what we're going to hold to. And all God's people said, that's what we're going to do. What I'm saying is that once you get there, you don't say, "Okay, I'm done." You got to do the rest. Let's talk about those two keys and what they belong to. First of all, the first key is faith. That opens the door to heaven through Christ Jesus. So, what do you do with that key? How does that work? First of all, here's what you do. You believe in Jesus Christ. That's all you can do for it. You believe it and you receive it. How much work do you do? Zero. You just receive the gift. What do you receive? You receive a gift from God. What is the work? How did it get to be accomplished? Did you do anything for it? No. Jesus Christ did the work. And what's the basis for you to receive what He did in the work? Your faith. And what is the result? Eternal salvation. And all God's people said, "Woo! Praise the Lord." Now let's get to that second key and understand the difference. Here's the second key. The second key is works, or obedience, if you will. Because Jesus said, "If you love me, you will" what? "Obey my commands." So the second key is obedience, or works. What do you receive for what you do? And let me just stop. What do? You do works. You work for Jesus Christ for the second key. What do you receive? You receive a reward. Do you receive eternity for your works? No. How do you get eternity? Through your faith, through Jesus Christ. But the scripture says that you receive a reward from God. And who does that work? You do. As a Christian, as a believer, you do the work of God to bless the Lord's kingdom and to store up your treasures in heaven. That's talked about all through the scripture. What's the basis? Your works for God. What are the results? Not eternal salvation, because that's given to you as a gift from Christ through your faith, but your eternal compensation, and also what you're going to be doing, because the scripture says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful in a few things. I am going to put you over many things. So some of you are saying, wait a minute. You mean we're not just going to sit around on a cloud in heaven for eternity? Can you imagine sitting for eternity? Listen, I can't sit for 5 minutes, amen? Praise God, He knows my ADDDDHness. And He's going to bless me with something to do to serve Him too. Yes, we need to be, but we also need to do, and we're going to continue to do. So here's the urgent warning I've been trying to get to here. It would be an eternal tragedy if you confused the purpose and the promise of these two keys. Wouldn't it? If for some reason somebody said, oh, you can't get to heaven unless you earn it. That is a lie of the devil. You cannot earn salvation. You don't deserve salvation. None of us do. But what you can do is receive it as the gift, like we said, from Christ Jesus. And then once you do, you love the Lord enough to obey His commands. And the scripture says that we earn rewards for being obedient. There are many, many people that emphasize only faith. And there are many, many people who emphasize only works. But as a true believer, as a Christian, we've got to emphasize both. That's what eternity is all about. That's why I'm sharing this eternity or end time series with you, to make sure that when you get there, you can't say, preacher, you didn't tell me about this. Let's talk about a very surprising truth about heaven. Did you know that a lot of people actually believe that heaven is going to be the exact same experience for every single person? They believe that. That they're going to have the same thing. We're all going to get there. They think we're going to get a pair of wings. You know, you need to read the Bible. Amen? Nowhere does it say that we become angels. There are angels, and we were created different. And we were created for God. But the scripture says that that there's going to be a lot of things there. A lot of people think there's nothing that you can do that's going to affect your eternity. And they think that there's a lot of things that you will do or don't do. But God's word reveals a very, very different picture. Did you realize that Jesus Christ Himself said that each person is going to receive something from Him on one basis? Once they get there, now this is not salvation, but once they get there, there's going to be what we call the Bema, or the secondary judgment. That's going to be one of my sermons in the coming days. The secondary judgment, which is once we all get to heaven. But Jesus said that when we get there at that second judgment, that we're all going to receive something from Him on one basis. And you know what that basis is? Our works. Let me read to you Matthew chapter 16, verse 27 again. We read it just a moment ago. It says, for the Son of Man will come in all of His glory, in the glory of His Father and with His angels, and then He will reward each one according to his works. Those two words, according to, are used both by Paul and by Christ Jesus Himself, indicating that there are varying degrees of reward in heaven. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That sound fun? Are you excited? You can be. Get busy for the Lord. Amen. In Matthew, Jesus Christ promised his disciples a 100-fold blessing for those who followed him. Listen to Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 and following. It says, Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now listen to this. Now that's for those disciples standing right there with him. And it says here, then following, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake," stop. Go back to verse 29. It says, "And everyone." So who does that include? And he says, "Everyone who has done this for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." That's where you've heard that first and last scripture from. This is for anyone who will forsake all of their own and follow Christ Jesus. And God gives the responsibilities here to us. God gives us the responsibilities. And when we're faithful here with what we've got, with what we've been given, Scripture said He's going to give us even more. It doesn't always mean we're going to get it here. Amen? Where would you rather have it? For the short term here or the long term there? Oh, come on. I know you better than that. The right answer is what? Both. God, I want it here too. And we do. We do want God to bless us here, don't we? It doesn't always come in a way that we realize it. But we realize that God's Word says that we need to be storing up our treasures not for this earth. So we would prefer, dear friends, to have it there where it's going to last forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and so on, rather than just for a few short years right here. Think of the long term. You know, the fact is that heaven is going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. But it is going to be all the better for the things that Christ is going to give us. Listen to Matthew 25, verse 20 and 21. You remember this from the story of the parable of the talents. It says, "So he who had 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you have delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them.' And his Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Folks, do you think that Christ gave us these parables for no reason? He gave them to us so that we could understand that we are not just supposed to get there, but we're supposed to store up things for there. I'm not sure why that concept is so difficult for some to grasp. The fact is, again, heaven is going to be a wonderful place, but it is going to be all the better for the reward and the authority that God is going to give to those who are faithful for Him here. And so, dear friends, I'm telling you, be faithful. That's what the call is. If you want the end times to be better and better and better, folks, what you need to do is learn to love the Lord better and better and serve Him all the better. Now, let me just share with you a very surprising truth about the other place as well. This might be quite a surprise to some to know that there are degrees of reward in heaven, but did you know that there are also degrees of punishment in hell? I pray you never find out personally, amen? But you also need to know that God's Word says that, and if He says it about one place, it's got to be true about the other. Jesus reveals that there will be degrees of punishment in hell. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 23 and following, it says, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. So does it sound to me like one place is going to receive a little more punishment for their rejection? It says so here. Well, how about this one? There's also going to be a greater condemnation for people, not just places. Matthew 23, 13 and following says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers." Therefore, anytime there's a therefore, we what? We look back to see what it was. Therefore, expect to say what's going to happen to them, and that therefore is there because of what? Because they shut up the kingdom of heaven. They're not going in themselves, and they try to keep others from going in. They steal from widows, and they make a pretense of being religious by long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. They both suggest a greater degree of retribution. And then in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." It points to a connection to evil on this earth and punishment separated from God. Folks, here's what I can tell you. Rather than going into a theology of Hades or hell or even heaven or earth, let me just tell you this and make it very plain. Satan hates you. Satan hates you. You go, "Why? What have I ever done to him?" It wasn't what you did. It was what Christ did. And if you belong to Christ, he hates you because Christ is righteous, because he is loving, because he is God. Satan then wants to rob you of anything he can that would be a blessing from God or to be with God. Satan promises the best, but he pays the worst. Amen. He promises honor, and he pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure, and he pays with ultimate pain. He promises life, and he pays with death. Folks, when we start thinking about eternity, you need to think about your choices here on this earth. And if you're thinking about the end times, you're wise, because God's Word says we need to be thinking about where we're going to spend eternity, and we need to be prepared for it. Your choices on this earth have a direct consequence on your life in eternity, whether you're going to heaven or whether you reject God and go to hell. Your choices make a difference. We often neglect too much for a few short times on this earth the millions of years that we'll have in heaven. We neglect the millions of years for the brief moment of fun or pleasure or gain or recognition on this earth. That's why we would say we'd much rather have it there than to have it here. Again, Satan hates you. What do you think Satan would do to keep you from heaven? If God loves you with an everlasting love, and by the way, His Word tells us that He loves every person with an everlasting love. Right here. He loves you with an everlasting love. And if God hates, if the devil hates God, he's going to hate who he loves. What do you think Satan would do to keep you from going to heaven? Would he lie to you? Of course he will. Will he deceive you? Of course he will. Will he put wonderful things in front of you? Pleasure and ease and whatever it is to try to distract you from seeing heaven? Of course he will. Listen, folks, if he'll do that, If you're already saved, don't you think he will try to keep you from getting greater gain as well? He doesn't want you to be happy. Today's scripture shows us that our work for our God on earth will change our eternity. Did you get that? Our work for our God on this earth will change your eternity. It will be even better. How many of you knew that heaven could be better than better? You know, some of you knew, some of you didn't. It could be even greater and even better. But here's the caveat, if you will. Here's the twist. Our opportunity is under a limited time frame. You've got just a short time. You are invited to live by God and not waste your time. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us to redeem the time, for the days are evil. In other words, you're in an evil, difficult time. Get busy and do it now. It's not going to get any easier. Let me ask you this. Can a person truly know what will happen in eternity? Can a person really know what's going to happen in eternity? Yes, they can, because it is written in God's Word right here. You can know. I read 11 or 12 scriptures for you today. That's why I read them all, because I wanted you to see what God's Word said about it. Not Gary, God's Word. Can a person really know what's going to happen in eternity? Yes. Can a person really know where they're going to be in eternity? Yes. Can a person know that they're going to receive reward for being faithful and obedient to God in eternity? Yes. Now here's one for you. Just because you don't believe it does not make it false. Just because you haven't heard it before does not make it untrue. I've had people say, well, preacher, I've always believed that. You know what? It really doesn't matter what you believe if it's not founded right here. You better trust what God's Word says, not what you say, and not what I say. Trust what God's Word says. Just because you don't believe it means it's false. And yes, God loves you with an everlasting love. And belief in Him, trust in Him, as we said, belief truly is, will get you to His heaven. But Jesus said the two most important things that you could do on this earth are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And two, to love your neighbor. And folks, He's going to reward you. He is going to reward you. He is going to reward you for both. I put this up on the board a week ago, hoping that it would stir some people to remember. And I finish my message to you today with that word. It was a little phrase written by Matthew Henry. I like reading some of his stuff. But he said this. He said, it ought to be the business of every day to prepare for our last day. Pray with me. We are thankful, Father, for your word. It reminds us that it is our business to prepare for our last day. Father, I pray that across this room and across this town and this county and this state and this nation and this world, that you would take your word, place it in the hearts of men, and that they would shout it to the hilltops that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. But Father, we also pray that we would be reminded that as we turn our heart to you, that we need to be obedient and to serve you well. Thank you, Father, for the chance to be a part of your kingdom, to serve you, to love you, to do for you. God, what greater thing could we want to do than to serve our King? We love you, Lord, and we pray that in doing so that we would desire to be obedient.